This is my leak, and this is my podcast. Today, we are going to talk about how to become more empowered about our health with the help of my friend, Dr. Lauren Powell. There will be some laughing and joking throughout this podcast because Dr. Powell and I have a friendly rapport, but please note that none of these issues should be taken lightly. Dr. Powell is a visionary in the field of family and culinary medicine. She is passionately dedicated to stopping generational health issues within the Black community by using her expertise to transform lives through nutritious eating. She is a board-certified family medicine physician, corporate wellness facilitator, and media personality. She hosts Urban ND, the first national television show to offer health and wellness insights through a multicultural lens. She is here to provide actionable steps for us to become more involved in our healthcare, make better use of our healthcare resources, make more informed decisions, and actively participate in our care plans to achieve healthier outcomes. I hope this interview is as helpful as my friendship with Dr. Powell. Her support and guidance have been invaluable to my health journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right. I am here with a very special guest, Dr. Lauren Powell, board certified family medicine physician, AKA the culinary doctor. I love your work so much, Lauren, or Dr. Powell. Let me put some respect on what you're doing. Tell us, I think before, or maybe these two are linked, I'm curious to know why you go by the culinary doctor and what inspired you to become a family medicine physician.
Well, you know, Malik, I'm like a fan of all things, Malik. So I'm just happy to be here to be able to talk to you. I learned so much
from
you. Side note, we go to lunches, and whenever I come home and my husband knows, like, you know, I had lunch with Malik, he'd be like, okay, what'd she say? What'd Malik say? And I tell him, he's like, oh yeah, that is good. That is good. It's good for all of us.
Yeah, I think being able to have lunch with you and ask all the questions. And that's why I was really inspired to have you on the podcast, because I feel like so many of us are getting our appointments wrong and not getting them more right, and which I think could save our lives and help us and help friends. And so tell us a little bit about, like, why the culinary doctor, why you're doing this. And then I have tons of questions. I feel like this is going to be one of those, you definitely need a notebook, but it's okay if you don't have one right now. Hopefully by the time I drop this episode, my website will be updated and I'll have all of the stuff there. So that's in the works.
Okay.
Awesome. Go ahead.
So when I was in residency, in my second year of residency, we used to have to take 36-hour call. So, like, you go in and then you get off the next morning. So when I would get off the next morning, I would call my dad and I would talk to him while I was driving home, and he would, like, keep me awake. And that was, like, our routine.
Okay.
And so one Saturday I called him and I'm telling him about, like, all the patients I've taken care of and all the craziness. And he's just, like, not really talking much. And so I'm just, like, going on and on. And then finally I'm like, Dad, like, why aren't you talking to me? Like, I'm telling you all this stuff. And he starts talking and it's just, like, gibberish. And I was like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, you know, basically he's trying to tell me that he knows what he wants to say in his head, but when it comes out, it's gibberish. Oh, and immediately, God, I recognized my father was having a stroke in the Broca's area of his brain, like, while we were on the phone.
A stroke. Wow.
So I was like, okay, Dad, you have to get to the hospital right now. I'm going to call Mom. My mom was at church. I'm in Florida. They're in Detroit. I was like, you got to get to the ER right away. I'm going to call mom. He's like, no, Lauren, I got these deliveries. My father owns dry cleaners. Hardest working man ever. So he's like, I got to deliver this stuff. You know, but once I do all my deliveries, then I'll go to the hospital. I'm like, Dad, you legit may not make it. So either you go or I'm hanging up and I'm going to call 911. And so he's like, fine, I'll go. I was like, stop at the gas station on your way, buy aspirin, take the aspirin and get to the ER. Okay. So he goes to the ER, call my mom, tell my mom to meet him there. When my dad's there, I have them call me. My dad's blood pressure is like through the roof, like 200 over 110. His cholesterol was so high that they couldn't give a reading. Like it just said high. It was like above the threshold that they couldn't give a number. Like crazy high blood sugars. He's admitted there for days and days, can't get his blood pressure and stuff under control. And so me, I'm like, what is going on? My dad is not a neglectful patient. My dad goes to the doctors every 3 to 6 months. He takes pills in the morning. He takes pills in the evening. Why does something bad happen to him? It doesn't make sense. And I thought to myself, if a patient does all the things that their doctor asked them to do, but something bad still happens, we're missing something.
Mm.
Because as a doctor that was taking care of patients in my clinic and then admitting them to the hospital, there was something I'm missing. Like, why am I taking care of you and seeing you, but then I'm still admitting you when you have a stroke or a heart attack or your diabetes is uncontrolled? I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize unless we talk to our patients about the food they're putting in their body, which my dad was putting whatever he wanted in his body.
Mm-hmm.
He was drinking whatever he wanted to drink, highly stressful life, not sleeping well, horrible quality of sleep. Like if we don't talk about these things, bad things are still going to happen.
Right.
And so I just was like, I'm doing a disservice to my patients if I don't like talk about this. But yet in medical school, we only get like 6 weeks on nutrition. It's not enough to be like, to provide any like quality guidance to somebody with regards to their disease. Like it's just not enough. So I went on this journey. I did some training in culinary medicine through Tulane School of Medicine. And I've just been like on this journey of like getting information to just better help people, like just better help them. And so that's just like what I've been doing.
Yeah. But see, I didn't even know that. All these lunches we had, you never even told me that. But I think, you know, I have this, I would say I'm health conscious. And so I have, I think I've shared the story where when I was 5 years old, my dad went on this like, you're too young, but it was like a Jack LaLanne. It was like, we grew up in LA, California, and California is very health conscious, but it was like, it even everybody and the Black folks are, you know, rocking their Daisy Duke shorts, headbands, and we are getting fit. And so I feel like I was at an age where I got exposed to, you know, my dad, he was laid off. I don't remember what age, but he would take me to the park. This is back when parents would like, we're too hands on today, but my dad take me to the park. He'd run his laps. You know, there'd be times where he couldn't see me. He'd run his laps. We'd come home. He'd have a baked potato with like tuna out of the can. And like my dad would take me to the salad bar. And so I feel like he really helped me have a foundation.
He exposed you.
He exposed me to, you know, my dad, I'd sit, I'd watch him order and we'd go for burgers and he wouldn't always get the fries. You know, sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. You know, it would be our parents stopped buying soda. Like my mom full out stopped frying food altogether. And so I feel like I had a little bit of a base. And then now my dad jokes because he feels like I've taken it too far, but, you know, adding more health. And so how difficult is it for you to help make the connection for patients of like, you like food is medicine, and what are like small ways we can start to make some changes?
So it's hard. And I think sometimes I'm surprised at, I'll see patients who've had like diabetes for 10 years or something, and no one has ever talked to them about their food. So a lot of times people, ironically, they just don't know, which is like crazy. They just don't know. And so, you know, when I break it down to them, like the reason why we see these generational patterns of food related diseases is because we're all eating the same way. We're all like, just like your exposure was positive.
Yeah.
The exposure these days is not positive. I mean, kids are growing up in homes where nobody cooks. Everything is through the fast food. So what do we expect for them when they turn 18, 19, 20?
Right.
No, right. My parents ate fast food. It was faster. It was easier. It was, you know, they probably were told it's more economical. So that's what they do.
Right.
And then, you know, then they have some consequences to their health. So I think just explaining it to people, like what you do affects your health. Like, and I try to say it from an empowering way. Like, I'm not trying to take food from you, but I'm trying to give you power because I don't want you dependent on me. I don't want you dependent on drugs. I don't want you needing me. I want to see you once a year for your physical and make sure you're optimized. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to have to see me every 3 months, but you are going to.
Right.
You're going to until we get this tight. So, like coming from a place of empowerment of like, this is what you can do. And, food and lifestyle is not a quick fix, right? It's like,
okay,
you take medicine and stuff happens quick, but changing your lifestyle, that's not quick. That's hard. So I have to always brace them. Like, you just got to trust me because you're going to do something and you're going to be like, ain't nothing changed. But you got to trust me.
Right.
You got to trust me. It's not like eat a salad, six pack, you know,
right.
No, you just got to trust me. And I think that's why it's important to have a doctor you trust because, you know, my patients trust me and they're like, all right,
I guess.
All right, I'm in it. And so really it's just small things. And the biggest thing is I just want to get people cooking again because that's the only way we can control what's in our food. And it's like, I promise my patients, even if you don't change what you eat, but you just make that same food at home, I promise it will be healthier.
Yeah.
I promise it will be healthier. So just getting them to kind of like take back that power and cook in the home and getting rid of this highly processed stuff that is just so inflammatory, like all the stuff that's coming in the backs in the box, you know, the boxes and like just the highly processed sweets, treats that we just like eat unconsciously.
Yep.
And then we feed our family with, you know, good intention, but it's just not good.
Yes. Okay. I want to get on this episode. I want to get us better prepared for our doctor's appointments. So, and I will say that, like, I don't know that I've always been the best at this, but like, how can we better prepare for an appointment? Like, I heard you say the other day that a lot of us don't even know what medications we're taking. So like, how can we just help us out? How can we have a better appointment?
First, I want you to find a doc you feel good about. Sometimes people think that the doctor that's on their insurance card is who they're bound to for life. It is not that case and not that way. So ask friends, ask family, who do you like? Who do you trust? Who do you feel good about? Because this is a relationship and you want to be able to be open and honest. And if it's someone you don't feel like you can be open or honest with, then it's not a good fit.
Okay.
I like patients to really just do like a meet and greet. Like, don't come to your first doctor's appointment with like, I am into the doctors in 10 years. I got all these things I want to talk to you about. And fix it. Like, that's not, it's too much. It's too much. So let's just meet. Let's just see if we're a good fit. Like, we're both seeing if we're a good fit for each other. I'm seeing if you're a good, you know, fit for me as a patient. And if I'm a good fit for you or as a doctor. So I think just setting that tone, like the first visit should just be kind of like a meet and greet. And then, you know, you should be talking about your medical history. And that means knowing your medical history. That means knowing your family history. Because so many people are like, yes, somebody has some breast cancer. I don't know. They never really talked about it, but we have to know because that influenced when I do your breast cancer screening. So sometimes in our culture, we like to keep things secret.
Yeah.
Because we think we're like protecting people, but it's really harming them because now they can't fully do what they're supposed to do because they don't know their family history.
Yeah.
And so now I don't know what you have a genetic predisposition to because you don't know what anybody had. So maybe just have a conversation. And that's why I like the little journal I gave you is because maybe we just have a conversation when people are well. Hey, what was going on with your dad? Like, why did you say, why did he die again? Oh, okay. And did they ever find anything else out? And just having those conversations. Mom, do you take any medications?
Okay.
Because like, I'll ask my dad. And if you ask him, do you have high blood pressure? He'll say, no, I don't have high blood pressure.
Right.
My blood pressure is well controlled. My blood pressure is normal. And I'm like, Dad, but you take three medicines for your blood pressure.
Right.
So your blood pressure is well controlled because you take medication. So ask those questions too. What medical problems do you have? What medications do you have? Because some people don't associate the medication with a problem.
Okay.
So I think just knowing your family history and your medical history is just like a huge thing
that
just as a baseline.
Yeah. Which is, that's a tough one, but it's helpful and it keeps you going. I think another thing, you know, I feel like some people just don't feel comfortable really being honest at doctor's appointments, you know, and I sometimes wonder like if we even know the range of things that we can ask. And so I don't know if you have anything, but it's like if you're not to put you on the spot, but like what are things that people don't realize they can ask you about?
So first of all, I want to say like, you know, we're going to know.
Okay.
So even I'll ask patients like, oh, do you smoke? no, I don't smoke. You don't smoke anything. You don't smoke anything. And they'd be like, no. I'm like, okay, we're going to know. We're going to know. Because some stuff is just not going to make sense.
Okay.
Like, geez, I always see this kind of stuff. You're young. You don't have this. But we're going to know. So, you know.
Be honest.
Help us. It would be helpful if you could just be honest rather than make us go on a scavenger hunt. And because we're taking care of you.
But But I know that there's a guilt that might come up, and it's like, I don't want to tell the doctor that I'm like, you know, it's like, how many drinks do you have? What is it? All the questions are just like, get out of my business. But tell us why we need to be honest. And like you said,
it's to your betterment. Like, okay. We're really here to serve you.
Okay.
We're here to serve
you. Doing, whether you think it's right or whether it's healthy or not. Okay.
I don't, you grown. But I also want to make sure that you're educated, because some people don't know. They're vaping and they think it's okay. And I'm like, well, just so you know, your complete decision, but let's make a well-educated, informed decision.
Okay.
So be honest, because we're going to know, and we just want to serve you better, and just think about taking care of someone. It's easier if you just know, so you can just do the best for them.
Right.
So be honest, you know, and there's nothing, like, you shouldn't be embarrassed about anything. You shouldn't be embarrassed about anything. You shouldn't feel guilty about anything.
Okay.
If something is, you know, you have a question and it's weird. I mean, I get asked everything.
Okay.
Everything. And no, we've seen everything. So some people are embarrassed. I tell my patients, looking at your vagina is like me looking at an elbow. You know how you look at an elbow and it does nothing?
Right.
That's like, no need to be embarrassed. No need to feel like, oh, I don't look, or I, you know, girl.
No. Right.
Do not be, I don't care. I can still find it. I can still see what I need to see. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't want people to have any shame, any embarrassment. What I hate is when, what I find a lot is that patients have had a bad experience, or they had an issue and they didn't like the treatment option, so they did nothing.
So then
they come to me, and it puts me in a very difficult spot, because you did nothing, and now you're seeing me years later and you want me to, you know, fix it. But because you did nothing, now we're in like a worse scenario, you know?
Okay.
So I always ask my patients, and listen, even me, if you don't like what I have to say, get another opinion. And even if you get multiple opinions and they all say the same thing, nothing lost. There's nothing lost. But don't not do anything.
Okay.
So, you know, when it comes to asking questions, ask whatever questions you want. How can I be healthier? How can I not get this?
Right.
How do I prevent my, you know, every time I have sex, I'm getting an infection. What do I do about that? Like anything that you think of. And I love it when patients write stuff down, because I know sometimes it's hard when you're like in the moment to remember all the things that you think about.
Yes.
But I do the same thing. I'll be like, oh, let me just put this in my phone, and I'll just text it to myself. And then when I'm there, I'm like, these are different things that I've thought.
Yeah. I keep a note in my phone where, because I feel like whenever you get to a doctor's appointment, I don't remember anything. I don't remember any of the things. And so I just keep a running list in my phone, a little checklist of like this and this and this and that, you know, so that when I have the appointment, I have it together. Now, I want to talk about some things. I feel like I follow like all the online doctors, because when you get to be middle-aged like me, you're like, let me make sure I got it together. But I feel like sometimes those doctors are missing the mark as it relates to Black women. And so I do want to spend some time talking about things that are important to Black women. And so I want to start with, sort of like prenatals and fertility, because I feel like from what I experience is that, in the community that I'm a part of, there are like later mothers, like, should I be taking prenatals? Should I not? I'm not sure if I want to have kids. And just with the Black maternal health crisis, like, let's talk prenatals, to take or not take.
Yeah. So basically, if you're having sex, I have people taking prenatals, because you can get pregnant and you want your eggs as healthy as possible before it's fertilized. So if you think about it, if you're taking prenatals while you're pregnant, it's almost too late, because that egg has already been formed. So I tell people, and they're like, I'm like, it's not going to make you get pregnant if you take a prenatal. But if you're having sex, which means you could potentially get pregnant, let's just take a prenatal, which has your folic acid and all the things that make sure that fetus develops healthy. So okay. That's just like a simple thing.
Okay.
I think that, you know, when it comes to fertility, Black women have the highest rates of infertility, but we receive the least amount of services.
We do.
So what does that mean? There's just like this misconception that, how we're played in the media historically, that Black women are just hypersexual and that we can just pop a baby without any problems. And that's everybody's story. Our families, if we're having trouble, they say, pray about it, which I am a prayer warrior.
Okay.
But sometimes the answer to that prayer is getting medical help. Sometimes the answer to that prayer is fertility services. So sometimes we take a very laid back approach.
Okay.
And, it's to our detriment. So I always ask women, I don't care like how old you are, just what do you think about children? And I just try to make it blanket. No pressure. What do you think about kids? And some people are like, I know I don't want any kids. Like I for sure. And I said, that's fine. That's fine. But for the women that are like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe if I was in a relationship or I don't know. Or for sure, I want to have kids. I don't care what the scenario is after I finish this and this degree. You know, so just having conversations earlier, just getting people thinking about it. And, you know, because let me tell you what they're doing in other cultures. The grandparents are paying for their kids' eggs to be frozen. It's an investment in their future. That's not our story. So I just empower them. Like, look, and some people, they don't even know they have fertility benefits with their insurance. And so I'll say, hey, just look and see what your fertility benefits are. Cause you may not know. People think that fertility stuff is for the rich and famous. And I'd be like, look, regular
check
people
your benefits.
Yeah. Check your benefits. So just having that awareness.
I didn't know. I feel like as a high achieving, young Black woman, when you said that, like, Black women have the highest rates of like infertility, my head's like, bah, 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 really? And I just think it's so important to say that, because I think one of my friends, when I was like in my like 33, 34, one of my friends was like, hey, I just want to share this with you because you have the means. Take a look at your fertility, because it's a couple had a situation where they wanted to wait and then they felt like they waited too late. And so it's just like, take a look. And what was so fascinating is that I was like, okay, this is a friend that I trust. Like, I would do whatever they told me to. So I go and I'd go, you know, find out my AMH levels. And at this point, I think I'm 34 and it's like 0.04% or something, which was like, my goodness. And then I was like, well, let me test the follicles. Let me do this. And I'm like, this was all, I want to say, free through the fertility clinic. You know, it's like they're trying to get you in the door. But I'm like, how many people can I let know to go get this test before 34? Or, you know, it's just, if you don't know, and even if you're like dating, like whatever it is, I feel like it's so empowering to know where you stand as it relates to having children. And so thank you for that one. I have so many things. So, I mean, I feel like we could do a whole episode on something like that.
Yeah,
I want to talk to you. Go ahead. No, you say your final, and then I gotta move on to diabetes.
Okay.
Or pre-diabetic. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think just having that conversation early, and that's part of like having a good health provider too, because you just want to get things optimized before, you know, you kind of have the kids and all these other things that affect fertility. And that's why some people will neglect their health until it's time they want to have a baby. But that's why it's important that you have a relationship, like, just when you're feeling good, because we make sure your blood pressure, your diabetes, you're at a healthy weight, and all these things that are just important for fertility. Because also I have women that get referred to me because they want to do fertility stuff, but their fertility doctor says, you know, we're not doing anything until you get to a healthy weight because of just the increased problem. So now I'm working in a time crunch.
Right.
Doc, I'm trying to get this done. I'm, you know, this age, I'm trying to get it done. She said I need to be at this BMI to be healthy to, you know, do this. And then I'm like, oh, girl. I mean, we gotta go over it. We gotta do all this stuff, you know. And it's just like, if we had just had this relationship, a little bit earlier, we could have at least had this stuff optimized so that when it comes to that, you're just like ready.
You're ready to rock and roll. Okay, I want to talk about. I've been seeing all this talk about sort of pre-diabetes, A1C, which I don't even know that I even.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's.
I hadn't heard of it until one of my good friends, who's an ER doc, after she had a baby, and it was like, uh-oh. So talk to us about this particular test, pre-diabetic A1C. Give us the scoop.
Right. So, you know, we call it pre-diabetes and then diabetes. So, okay. You know, your A1C is kind of tells you what your blood sugar has been over like a 3-month period of time.
Okay.
So I don't like to look at your A1C in isolation.
Mm.
There's a couple of different things. So I'm looking at your A1C. I'm looking at your fasting glucose, meaning when I fasted at least 4 to 8 hours, what is my blood sugar at that time?
Well, okay.
It should be mm-hmm. low because you fasted.
Right.
It means that your body has been, you know, appropriately secreting insulin and doing what it's supposed to do. So I treat prediabetes very aggressive because to me, that's the time to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Because you don't wait till someone is diabetic to then be aggressive. You're aggressive when they're prediabetic so that they don't tip over.
Okay.
And that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, diabetes is a condition of older folks, and that's just not true. And there's so much just like hormonal stuff going on. Like even if I think somebody has PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which they can have some insulin resistance,
mm-hmm.
I'm not just going to go by your A1C because that may not give me the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you're someone, PCOS has been, you know, very common, but if you're anyone who's having like irregular cycles, weird periods, issues with fertility, just any of that, you want to really look extensively at what is your blood sugar doing and is your body able to maintain that? So I care about your A1C. Mm-hmm. I care about your fasting glucose. And I also care about your fasting insulin, which a lot of people don't check, which is like a very easy test to do.
Mm-hmm.
And because some people have a normal A1C, they'll have a normal fasting glucose, but then their insulin levels are not right. And that tells me they have some insulin resistance, which is another thing that can lead to diabetes.
Okay.
So you just want to like, just make sure you're being exhaustive. And I also say, you know, before you go to your doctor's appointment, just go to your insurance website and see what's covered with your physical, because some stuff is standard, which is fine. And I let patients know, like, I'm going to order other stuff that I feel like is important and it may not be covered by your insurance, but to me it's useful.
Yep.
And, oftentimes you do it one time and then we're kind of good.
Yeah.
So just don't be afraid of that stuff. And just to say like, hey, you know, I just want to clearly make sure I have, you know, see what my risk is for diabetes or insulin resistance. Are there any additional tests we can do? I understand it may not be covered with my standard panel, but you know, this is important information for me and
I think this is what we talked about at lunch that I do want to inject before I move on to blood pressure and then vitamin D. But I think you were saying that we don't really fully understand what health insurance is and that some of the extra stuff that we may want or like these additional tests, they cost an extra $25, $75, $50 and just to expect that. So give us the scoop on health insurance.
So this is how I personally think about health insurance. I think about my health insurance for catastrophic things. I think about my health insurance if I were to be diagnosed with cancer, if I were to get into a horrible car accident, admitted to the hospital. That's
like
what
car
I think
insurance.
Of, like car insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't use my car insurance to get an oil change. I don't use my car insurance to get a car wash or a tune-up.
Mm-hmm.
I pay cash for those things. And that's how I think about my health.
Mm-hmm.
Your health insurance, unfortunately, in America is not designed to keep you well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not designed to keep you well. So what does that mean? You have to take control of keeping yourself well. And that may mean you come out of pocket. But let me tell you something. I'd much rather come out of pocket to keep myself well than to be sick, wait to be sick and have somebody else kind of take control. And but then it's just like we're in a whole different situation.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to invest money in your health. I always say you're going to pay for it either way.
Right.
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 Like eating, you can eat crap that's cheaper now.
Yeah.
And have consequences to your health and then have to pay more money to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Or you can invest it up front, which is always to me easier. So I just want people to go in with that frame of mind because oftentimes patients are mad at me or, you know, I don't want to pay, you know, if it's not covered. Look, it may not be covered, but again, your health insurance is not designed to keep you well. It's so if you think about it from that perspective, it's not designed to keep me well. It's designed to take care of me when I'm sick. It's not designed to keep me well. So,
difference.
Health insurance, you know, has not helped me with any of the things. It has helped me with my fertility when I had to get that stuff done or mm-hmm. to do a workup and to, you know,
right.
do IVF. My health insurance wasn't there for me. My health insurance didn't cover any medications that I needed. My health insurance didn't cover any supplements that I needed. My health insurance didn't cover any of that stuff. It was cash. And I was glad to pay it, you know, because yeah. it's just like, this is what I got to do to get what I want. And so this is the state of healthcare in America. I'm not saying it's fine and it's good, but it's just,
right. it's not,
I'm just keeping
right.
it real.
That just helping us better understand, because I had never thought of it like that. And I didn't consider it. So I want to talk about blood pressure, because I don't know. It's like, I grew up, both of my parents had high blood pressure in their 40s. I'm in my 40s. And it was just, I just assumed even when I was younger that like that would then be my issue. Like, yep, then I'm also going to have high blood pressure. But I think I read somewhere that it's like you can sometimes change your genetics by, and I have friends that are my age. They are now talking about blood pressure. It's a thing. Why does it matter? What's good? What's not good?
Just to say, we're not doomed to our genetics. We're not doomed to our genetics. There's something called epigenetics, and that determines which genes are turned on and off. So that's why your lifestyle, your family may have high blood pressure, but you live a very different lifestyle.
Right.
You manage your stress, you eat really well, you move your body. And so you've mitigated some of those genetic predispositions.
Okay.
So I feel like everybody should know at baseline what their blood pressure runs. So, right, your blood pressure at baseline was like 106 over 70 something. Like super right. low. And why yeah. is that important? No. Because if you go somewhere and all of a sudden your blood pressure is like 130 over 80, technically that's normal, but that's not your normal.
Right.
Because that's not what your baseline is. So what is your baseline blood pressure? That's important.
Yeah.
I believe we should be aggressive about our blood pressure. If you're a young person, why is your blood pressure 130 over 80? Why is your blood pressure 140 over 90? You know, let's ask yeah. these questions, because sometimes it could be just as little as you don't sleep well. Because sleep impacts your blood pressure. If you're not sleeping well, if you're snoring, if you're having periods of not breathing, your cortisol spikes and your blood pressure is going to be high. So sometimes it's just a matter of like tweaking okay. some things in your lifestyle. Don't be scared. You're not doomed to medications.
Okay.
Sometimes there's literally lifestyle things that
you
we can
do.
Be doing.
Yeah. yeah.
Sometimes it's like, yeah, dude, you can't eat that bag of, I had a patient eating salt, vinegar, pickle chips every day. Like the saltiest things in the world.
Oh.
Like it's just those little things that we can
those
tweak.
Little.
And improve the blood pressure. But I definitely, you want to be aggressive about your blood pressure. A lot of people, if they come in to see me and they have high blood pressure and I'm talking to them about medication, because sometimes, again, the lifestyle stuff works, but it's slow. So
okay.
if you come in and your blood pressure is high, you mm-hmm. know, 160, 180s, I need to protect you from having a stroke. So we're going to talk about some medication.
Okay.
So a lot of patients will give me resistance because they're like, doc, I feel fine.
But right.
I feel fine. And the problem with that is, that's why we call heart disease a silent killer. Sometimes you don't feel bad until something bad happens. And you want to wait until something bad happens to then be like, oh, shoot, let me do something. Because now it's a completely different story.
Got it.
So you can't go. And then oftentimes people don't know they feel bad until I make them feel good, because they felt this way for so long.
This is.
They don't even know. And then they aggressively treat their blood pressure. Like, you know, I didn't even realize I was having this like head kind of like weird thing. And it's like gone. Yeah, like I used to have this like tingly thing in my feet sometimes, and like it's gone. My
right.
vision, it's like better. Crispier. Yeah,
right.
I used to see sometimes these little spots over here, and they're not there anymore.
I think that's such a bar for life, because I think this about physical health and mental health, that we don't even sometimes realize that things could be better. Like we're feeling okay,
yeah.
not understanding that we could be feeling great. By addressing a couple things. I want to talk about vitamin D only because it's like, I feel like that's been a constant, especially as for Black people, it's like vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D.
Yeah.
Why do we need it? How do we get it? Why is it such an issue? I think I read that today that 75% of, I think, is it Black Americans have like vitamin D, like 50
deficiencies,
50 and below. Yeah.
Yeah. What? So we have vitamin D in our skin.
Mm-hmm.
And we need the sun that converts the inactive form to the active form.
Okay.
The issue with Black folks or anyone of color is we have melanin in our skin. Melanin is going to prevent that absorption of those rays that convert the inactive to the active form.
Okay.
So if you have melanin in your skin, you're likely going to be vitamin D deficient. That's number one. And then number two, our food is just not the same as it used to be. So just like the quality of stuff, the soil is not the same, how things are processed. And so a lot of our foods are just nutrient deficient these days. So that's another reason. But vitamin D is just important for so many things. It's important for your immune system, your bone health, your gut health. It's just important to a lot of things. And again, it's one of those supplements and vitamins that you don't know that it can help something until you start taking it and have normal levels. And you're like, oh, I didn't even realize, like, I feel this feels a little bit better.
Yeah.
One thing to note is when we look at what's normal, so when you get your labs back and it gives you a reference range of like normal, those reference ranges were made for white men because they did these studies and did these lab work on white male residents, medical residents. So that's what the ranges are. So I don't always go by the ranges because if you're not a white man, you may not fit in that. So if your vitamin D is like 30, it'll technically say it's normal. That's not normal for a black person. Your vitamin D needs to be in the 50s. Same thing with, like, you might see your blood counts be different. And it's because you have melanin, you have different, genetics in you because you're from different cultures. So things just look different. So that's an important thing to know. I mean, a lot of the stuff normal is based on a white man. And if you're not a white man, if you've got anything else in you, sometimes stuff can be quoted as normal, but that's not normal for you. Or sometimes your stuff can look weird because it doesn't fit in what's normal.
Okay.
So I always check vitamin D, and I've never checked a melanated person's vitamin D that wasn't abnormal. Never. I just label everyone as vitamin D deficient. Unless you're taking a supplement. And even if you're taking a supplement, you're still deficient. You're only normal because you're taking a supplement.
Right. So, it's not. This is just happening.
It's not happening. So another thing, you know, vitamin D is not part of a standard supplement, a standard panel. But all you have to say to your doctor, you don't have to tell him I told you this. All you have to say is, you know, I have a history of low vitamin D. Because you could have. So you just say, I have a history of low vitamin D. And now it's a problem, right? Your insurance pays for problems. So your insurance will pay to check your vitamin D if it's a problem, meaning you're deficient. So you just say, I have low vitamin D. I have a history of low vitamin D.
Test me.
Yeah, test me.
Okay. And then I feel like
whatever the number is going to depend on how much vitamin D you need. Because it's not like a one size fits all. So what I tell you, you need may be different than, you know, 75-year-old, like that may be different.
Yeah, I know. I'm always like on Google trying to be like, how many IUIs of this or that or whatever. So because I know my podcast audience, I'm not going to hold them. I'm going to ask you for some supplements, and then I'm going to ask you to get us out of here, like the things that we must know. And I feel like we can come back and do all kinds of episodes, but let's talk about supplements and then something that, like, ways that we can just better advocate for ourselves in the offices.
Just a reminder that supplements are a supplement. They're not a replacement for good nutrition. So some people think that they can eat bad, but then take a supplement and it just balances out. Your supplement is a supplement. It's not a replacement. So I still need you guys to be eating well. And, and you know, your supplements are to help with that. So first thing is everybody needs a multivitamin. And I'll see so many patients are like, yeah, I take an A, I take a C, I take a K. I'm like, but do you take a multivitamin? Because oftentimes that has the basic vitamins and minerals that you need.
Okay.
Vitamin D, most people are going to need that. You know, my patients who have any personal or family history of like cardiac disease, I'm probably going to talk to them about fish oil or just some kind of anti-inflammatory things, you know, for their metabolic health. If people have an issue with sleep, I don't feel like we don't address sleep enough, but there's a lot of great supplements that can help with sleep. So we're not like habit forming and, you know, people like to say things like Benadryl and NyQuil, but those things are going to stop working at some point. So you just don't want to like get in the habit of using those. There's a lot of great supplements on the market now that we can use for sleep. So, you know, definitely talk to your provider about sleep. Be careful with just all the supplements because people do things with good benefit. Like people take a lot of vitamin C. You don't want to just be taking vitamin C because it replaces other vitamins when they're in competition. And so if you take a lot of vitamin C, you can be displacing other vitamins.
Okay.
So vitamins are helpful when you're deficient. It's not super helpful if you are not deficient. So it would be like pouring gas into a full tank. Like you're pouring it in, but because you're already full, it doesn't go anywhere. So you're just going to pee it out and have expensive urine.
Right.
So just to be taking a bunch of stuff, you just don't know if you need that. Like have a conversation with your doctor because some things are helpful. Like just based on your symptoms, we may be like, oh, I think you would benefit from a magnesium supplement or we can check your magnesium.
Okay.
Oh, you eat this way. You're very strict vegan. Like let's make sure your B12 and some other things are like at their optimal level. So just have a conversation. sometimes people are taking these weird supplements, like a fat burner, and they'll see like, it's okay for me to take a fat burner. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean? Like, that's just like a generic term. Okay. So you want to be sure of what's in your supplements, because they can react with other medications. They can cause weird stuff. I've had people taking supplements and it makes them have kidney stones and all kind of weird stuff. So
okay.
Any supplements that you're taking, bring them to your doctor. I ask my, like, it's great if I can look at it and read it, because sometimes there's weird stuff in there. And some stuff is like, dude, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. And I don't know if you need it. I had a patient the other day who was having weird numbness and tingling of her hands and feet that started. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, and I was like, what, did you start any new supplements? She's like, so many. She's like, I saw a fertility doctor and I just started all these supplements. And I was like, yeah, you don't need that. You don't need that. Continue that, you know. And she's doubling up on some stuff. Mm. Her vitamin B12 ended up being like 3,000, which is too high. And that can be dangerous, because too much of stuff can be dangerous. She was taking iron. Her iron was normal. Too much iron can cause a really big problem.
Okay.
So you want to be careful, because too much of stuff can just be just as harmful as having a depletion of it. So
yeah. And I think sometimes with all the access to information we have, and it's like, okay, if you have this, you can go online and it's like, these are the supplements that you need. But if you don't really know where you stand, everyone's supplement needs are going to be different based on just who they are. So you'll probably be taking something different than someone else, even though it's like, I have a multivitamin that I love, but maybe you don't need this multivitamin. So because I don't want to overwhelm everyone, get us out of here with some, like, what do you want us to know? What can we do better for our health?
I want you guys to have a primary care doctor that you trust and that you see, even if you just see them once a year. Don't wait till you have a problem to establish with someone. Don't wait until you're trying to have surgery and need surgical clearance or you need to see a doctor. Like, really get into a relationship with someone that you can just check in with once a year. Take control of your health. You're the boss of you. Mm-hmm. There's things about our health that we can't control, but there's a lot of things that we can. So take ownership of that and try to just take the reins of those things that we can control. How you move your body, the food you put in your body, how you manage stress, how you're sleeping. Like, if you're in community or not, because we know that being in community versus not being in community can influence our health. Just try to really take advantage and be mindful of those things. People are really, really stressed out these days. Okay. They are really, really stressed out. And a lot of it I find is how their life is set up. Mm. And it's things that I can't really control, you know. And so just be open to, like, asking yourself, is how my life set up right now supporting my health? Because if it's not, even though the money is good and even though you can do it from home, maybe it's not the best job for you. And some people don't want to hear it because they love their benefits. But if it's not good for you, because I can 100% guarantee you that if something happens to you, your job will not care. They will send some flowers to your house and they won't think twice about you. So, like, my husband used to work nights when we first got married, and he had put on so much weight, because it's like, you're working all night. The only thing open at nighttime is fast food. And then you get off and then you try to stay awake, but you end up just sleeping all day. Then you wake up, you're whatever, you know, and it just wasn't supportive to his health. And so we just have to be honest. And it may be at certain seasons, things are okay. And at other seasons, they're not. So at this season of my life, I can't work clinically every day. I used to with no problem. I used to work 5 days a week and travel and work in Florida 2 days a week on the weekends. And that I could do that. But at this point in my life, it's not supportive to my health. So
I love
health
that
is
reframe.
Multifaceted. So just look at your life and say, are these relationships supportive of my health? Is, you know, who I'm community with supportive of my health? Is the way I'm moving? Is my job? Are these things in support of my health? And just be honest with yourself.
That's perfect. All right. Thank you so much. Where can we find you? What's the website? Give us the Instagram so we can keep up.
Everything is Dr. Lauren Powell. So I'm on Instagram at Dr. Lauren Powell, LinkedIn, Dr. Lauren Powell. Website is drlaurenpowell.com. I'm currently in private practice in Sandy Springs. So if I can be of service to anyone, you can let me know.
Okay. Sandy Springs, Georgia.
Sandy Springs, Georgia. Yep, yes. That's where I am. And that's it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.